From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, Mark talks with Iowa Soybean Association conservation agronomist Rosie Roberts. I have the weekly South America update with Greg McBride of Allendale. And Dustin talks ag trade with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst in Washington, D.C. Now here are your hosts for today, Mark Magnuson and Andy Peterson.
Another jam-packed show here on Iowa Ag Matters today. Thank you, Riley, helping to kick things off here on the show. Mark Magnuson joined by Andy Peterson. And Andy, had another weather event make its way through the state of Iowa last night. And I think I heard Dustin mention that he kind of felt like it was a mini derecho almost, the way that the wind was whipping around, but it didn't last very long, at least here in central Iowa. Did it make its way to you in northeast Iowa?
No, not in that form, at least. A little bit of wind, as you mentioned, around 9 o'clock or so, but nothing even approaching severe limits or like a derecho. Sounds like tonight making it a little bit more. It's wet though, and I think people are starting to realize just how wet it is with half the crop left to be planted in. Now some concern about planting delays here as we'll get into the middle of May coming up. Let's dive into the marketplace, seeing some strength once again. Jim McCormick from agmarket.net kicking us off, Mark.
Jim, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
Right now in the overnight market, Mark, unfortunately, if you're bullish, you're not getting what you want. We are down on the corn, beans, and wheat. Meal and oil are all under pressure in the night market. We've had one heck of a run here lately, and it feels like maybe a little bit of profit taking coming in. We are midweek, and we do have one of the bigger reports out that the USDA releases on Friday. It's an old crop balance sheet, but more importantly, it's the first look of the new crop balance sheet. In general, we're bracing for what we anticipate to be a little bit negative report, especially on the new crop balance sheet. You're going to see a year-on-year growth in ending stocks. So that may be causing a little bit of profit taken from the bulls who've made some pretty quick money here the last couple days.
So all in all, we're probably going to see everybody squaring away on their positions going into this report, maybe just leading up to it, and it could be kind of the same pattern?
That's what it may be right now. I mean, if you look at the weather forecast, I think it's a little bit more iffy this morning. Put a little bit better chances of rain in the eastern Corn Belt. But if you look at the western part of the Corn Belt, like the QPF model, it does not have a lot of rain for the southern part of Iowa. It doesn't have much rain for the Dakotas, Nebraska, even parts of Minnesota. So, you know, if you look at it, we are going to make progress in certain parts of the country to get this crop planted. We did have some pretty violent storms move through the eastern part of the Corn Belt last night, but it really was kind of hit and miss type of rain. I've talked to some clients already in parts of Ohio and Indiana that are planting as we speak. So we are making progress. But yes, this report, you know, we're looking for this bean carry out to put it in perspective, Mark. The old crop carry out, they're looking for about unchanged around 340 million. The new crop, the projected new crop carry out, is going to grow to essentially about 440 million bushels. On the corn carryout, they're looking for a slight downward revision in the corn carryout for the old crop from 2,122 this in April to 2,098 million here. But the new crop, looking for it to be up to 2.256 billion bushels. So you can see, you know, when you just look at it face value, they're going to say, look, we're growing year on year. That's not bullish. Like I said, I think that's what the trade's bracing for at the moment.
And then in South America, we know there are some extreme weather events happening in Brazil in terms of high amounts of rainfall. What is that going to do to that overall production number for Brazil based on what we're seeing right now?
Well, it's going to drop it. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. You know, in April, the USDA put the Brazil crop at 155, but you got private guesstimates down in the mid-140s. The range of estimates for this report is 147 to 155. So there's a huge disagreement between the USDA and some of the private estimates and even the Brazilian government. So we're going to get a revision. And then the real question is the loss. So, you know, we don't know how bad it is, Mark. I've heard as little as a million metric tons loss to as much as 5 or 6 million metric tons loss. And then that kind of depends on where the crop is. I mean, if the USDA's, the average trade guess it's 152 and it's a 2 million loss, now you're down to 150 crop. That's not going to be near as bullish as if that crop is actually down to even a little bit further. So we're going to get some new numbers, but the clarity of what that crop loss is still not going to be known, I believe, for another couple of weeks, if not months.
Thank you to Jim McCormick of BagMarket.net for joining us and helping to break down the grain markets. We'll have more on the livestock later, but it's time now for the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Is it a rally? That's the key question in the marketplace for Iowa producers, given a pause in hashtag plant 24. As we've gone from ahead of normal to behind in the past week, we need some more things to keep track of. Robin Schmall, AgMarket.net, weighs in regard to markets.
Well, funds have been short covering for one reason. Last week, too, they've been doing it a little more calculated versus a Katie bar the door type situation. But that combined with some more concern developing over the wet weather.
Crazy to think how we've gone from dry to wet in such a short period of time.
Number two.
Increased incentives for cover crops being announced in the state of Iowa by the Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Knagg. Popular annual cost share program is now available for first-time users, as well as returning participants to begin enrolling their acres. Now, Secretary Knagg says that recognizing the input costs are rising for farmers and keeping our statewide cover crop momentum building, they're adding incentives for the 2024 cropping season.
Number one.
Finally, some conversation about a farm bill in 2024 that includes getting it done rather than pushing it off, right? Iowa Senator Joni Ernst says that after the release of her chamber's bill and the House's framework.
What I do know is that it doesn't include enough farm in the farm bill. We have an excessive cost in the Senate version, about $1.5 trillion for this farm bill reauthorization, but only a very, very small percentage of the overall bill goes to our farmers.
While it's progress, she says she's disappointed there haven't been more pieces added to the legislation, including protection for America's pork producers from state initiatives like California's Prop 12. I'm Edie Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings at FBI Buildings. From now until June 1st, take advantage of our exclusive spring building savings. For over six decades, FBI has been the trusted name in the post-frame industry. Starting at just $27,000, you can own your dream building. Want to learn more? Call us now at 800-552-2981. Or visit FBIBuildings.com to request a quote.
Well, we're going to get an update from South America with concern continuing to grow on the crop size down there as well. Riley, visiting with Greg McBride from Allendale. That's next on Iowa Ag Matters.